Kato Momolu, fashion designer and stylist, who was a finalist on season 5 of Project Runway and will be appearing at the University of Kansas Tuesday, November 10th. Thank you very much for joining us here at Lawrence.com.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Well, we'll just get a little bit of background on you and fashion. What exactly attracted you to fashion? What was it that inspired you to want to make a career out of fashion?
Well, initially I started as just a regular artist, you know. Growing up, I've always been into art and being creative, and it seems like if there was something creative that I kind of put my hands into, I always kind of excelled at it. And in high school, for whatever strange reason, I just kind of started sketching dresses and clothes for my weekly sketchbook entries for school. And my art teacher, who kind of took me under her wing, kind of, you know, pushed me towards fashion. And I'm like, you're already kind of doing it. Maybe that's where you're inclined to go. I was 16 when I graduated high school, so I really wasn't sure where I was going to go with it. So once she kind of put me in that direction, I loved it, and I just went head first.
What is that direction? Like, what is it that you're hoping to achieve with your clothes? What is sort of the Kato look? What are you trying to stamp on your lines?
Well, definitely, you know, I design for real women. I always said that, but mostly my clothes are very attractive on women of all shapes. You know, women don't always come, you know, in the size 2, 5, 10 frame. A lot of us come under that height limitation, and usually, you know, most of America are full size 10 and plus. So a lot of my designs can kind of transcend for these women that are just everyday women. They're moms, they have careers, and they want to wear high fashion clothes but don't necessarily see styles that fit their body types because they're not made for those body types. So my designs are geared towards that, but they're also high fashion. So it's almost like you can kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Sort of your own personal background dovetailing with your clothes. You're an Arkansas resident by way of Liberia and Canada. How does that sort of peculiar passport influence your designs?
Yeah. Well, you know, living all those different places definitely gives me a lot of inspiration. Coming from Liberia and then growing up in Canada, which is so multicultural, I was always around some kind of culture. And then moving to Arkansas, you know, where there's not too much diversity here in different, you know, cultural backgrounds, but they definitely have a different feel of life here. It's really laid back, and people are really open and friendly and willing to support you. Mm. So I think taking all those together, you know, this really kind of helped me kind of transform who I am now as a designer, putting all those different places together where I've lived and using them every year, every collection for my inspiration.
Is there such a thing as Arkansas chic, Arkansas couture?
I think I own more pairs of jeans since I've lived here than anywhere else. It's really laid back. You know, people here don't really follow the rule book of what's happening in New York fashion.
Right.
But they have their own sense of who they are, and they know their styles. And, you know, our mall has the hottest stores as well. So, you know, it works out.
Of course, Project Runway brought you national and even international attention. How dramatic was the impact of that show on your life?
That was probably the breaking point, I think. Designing for so long, like I said, since I've been, you know, 16 and doing shows and getting out there, I had a huge following down here and everywhere I've lived, in Canada, to come here and be this place that kind of was the last place I lived before I actually auditioned for the show. It was really good for me. It took my career to the next level, the level that I've been, you know, wanting to. And the thing about Project Runway is you have to go in there with the attitude that definitely you want to win, but if you don't, staying until the end, being in the top three and going to Bryant Park, you know, that was a huge dream for me because nowhere could I have afforded to show in that huge tent on my own. So to be able to do that on a national level, international at that, because the show keeps playing all over the world. It seems like every other day I get a new email from somewhere in another country, in another time zone. It's amazing. Hmm. And no other way would you be able to do that as a young, struggling designer without, you know, huge financial backing. So it does take you to another level. You know, you become famous, and now, you know, the doors that were somewhat shut with, like, crazy glue before are, like, pried open. when you get there, and if it's not, once you say who you are, they see who you are, they're like, oh my God, it's you. Come in, let's see what you're doing. So it's almost like you do an extra boost of respect from the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, spend the 10 years to build up your name internationally. It's done over, like, a five-month period. So it's a great experience. I mean, it comes with its highs and lows, but it was a blessing.
Yeah. And how weird is it now to be a celebrity and even a role model to some people?
It's crazy and sometimes really scary because it really makes you think about the stuff that you do and say, because, you know, so many people are depending on you and they look to you for inspiration, and little girls that, you know, find some kind of similar thing in your story with theirs to connect, to kind of, you know, keep them going and making them feel like they can make it. It's different. It really makes you, you know, put yourself up on a higher standard to make sure that when you're doing things, you're not just doing it for you. I'm doing it for my daughter, you know, for my friends and family that have their own dreams that have been afraid to step out of the box. Mm. And it's crazy. You know, you're not just, I'm not just Cutto anymore. I can't just run and look crazy to Walmart. People are like, oh my God, you know, before I would do things like that. Now I'm like, oh my God, do I have earrings on? You know, just in case someone wants to snap a picture and then post it on Facebook immediately. Yeah, that's the downside of it.
Yeah,
it can't look grungy anymore.
Well, you could make that a new fashion trend. You now have that prestige.
Oh my God, yeah. Dropping my daughter off to school, I'm like, oh God. I'd be like, what is she wearing? Like, some days I forget, you know, who I am now, and I'm just like, oh God, did I wear this there at school? Oh yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, and well, speaking of sort of the sausage making sort of aspect of Project Runway and the sort of the unpleasantness that goes, like, on behind the scenes. What's the reality of making a series like Project Runway versus what we see on TV? I mean, as someone, I assume you watched the show before you went on. Like, what was the most surprising thing, like, what was the most dramatic thing that surprised you going from a viewer to a contestant on the show?
Definitely just seeing how intense it is. Like, you know, when you watch the show, most people think you have a week. You do that one challenge and you have a week, you know, off, and then you do the next. No, it's like one day we sew, next day someone goes home. You know, like when everybody saw us on the roof that day, you know, the next day we started work, and then the third day somebody went home back quickly, and it was intense 5 weeks of that repeatedly, you know, being, you know, in a room or in an apartment with no TV, radio, television, nothing. You get phone calls at like 1 a.m. after we're done rapping, you know, to your family. And, you know, I never got to talk to my daughter. Mm. You know, you're like, you're living in a box. All for the sacrifice of possibly winning $100,000 to further your career. So it's really intense. And a lot of the crying you see and the stress, all that stuff is built up because of that. And they know exactly what they're doing because it works. You know, you can't put 16 people in a box and no one's going to snap. Somebody's going to snap and quickly, and they did.
Yeah, and well, speaking of that aspect of quote-unquote reality television, and it's never really reality, did you ever feel that you were being unfairly portrayed on the show, like maybe a comment taken out of context or editing that maybe portrayed you in a less than flattering light?
Not on season 5. I felt like on the All Stars, we were all asked like the same questions about, you know, should we get won our seasons? Did we deserve to win? And, I mean, we all answered the same way. You know, yes, I feel like, you know, I should have won or et cetera, et cetera. And then on the All-Stars, I just felt like that's all they chose me saying. Like, if I was, like, this bitter person who just felt like, you know, I should have just won everything and the world, woe is me. And it wasn't like that. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I should have lost?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I deserved,
you know,
it.
I deserved to come in second. Like, who's going to say that? So, yeah, I got the second place. And if you get that far, daggone it, you feel like you should have won. So, and I think a lot of people looked at it as me being kind of ungrateful or just arrogant. And that's not me. Mm-hmm. The point of the matter is I went on the show to win. And I thought, especially the second time, when they had absolutely nothing negative to say about my collection, I should have got it, and I didn't. So I'm human. So I think that's the only bad side of it. Like, there's nothing that, you know, was said that, you know, I didn't say. Like, none of that stuff happened, which is a good thing about that show. There was a lot of integrity with the first production company. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you heard or you saw was real. There was no, oh, can you do that again because we missed it for the cameras.
Right.
There was no script. It was real. Sometimes we had nothing to say, and they're like, okay, you guys need to talk. It is a TV show. Because we get so deep into our work, we would forget that we're on TV. We're like, okay, somebody needs to say something.
Yeah, and I've always actually been curious about, like, the actual timeline of those sorts of things. Like, do they actually stop the competitions to do interviews with you? And is that, like, factored into the competition?
No, that's all in there. Like, so that's why there's a lot of freaking out going on, because you're doing, we get our, you know, let's say we start about 9 or 10 o'clock and get our challenge, we go to Mood and come back, and we have, like, 8 hours to go. Out of that 8 hours, it might be an hour or two that you have to go sit in an interview.
Really?
So, you know, most people are cranky when it comes to interview time. That's why you see a lot of attitude, and people are, like, freaking out, because they're like, oh, my God, I have work to do. Can you hear the question? So it's kind of crazy. Nothing stops because of that. It's, like, it's just a part of it. It's, like, waking up is the process, and that's the process, and you just have to deal and make do of your time and, you know.
And you're now on the other side of the Project Runway experience. Have you been watching the new season at all?
I'll be honest with you. I tried the first episode, and I really wasn't. I just couldn't really get into it. It was too soon for me getting off the All-Stars.
Yeah.
And being the All-Stars, like, aired right before that season, it was, like, bombarding. My phone was just bombarded with phone calls after, so I never really got to watch it. I've seen it, like, 3 times because I had to blog for Marie Claire. But I think with this season, it's kind of, I guess because it's a new production company, it's on Lifetime now, so it's new writers. But the challenges to me aren't as challenging. They seem like they're just kind of doing regular things. Whereas in past seasons, you know, they put a little twist in there. You know, it's like it's not you just making an outfit every time. It might be out of, I don't know, socks or corn chips. Or, I don't know. This year, it just seems like they got a pretty easy season. Mm. I don't know. I haven't really just been glued to it.
Yeah,
and I think that's the drama of being on the show. When you were on, I think most people that say when they're on these shows, they can't watch it after that. You know what really goes on, and you just don't even want to go there anymore. It's like a nightmare sometimes.
It's like post-traumatic stress disorder.
It is. Because, you know, I bought the box set. It came out. It was at Target one day. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm on this box set. So I bought it, got home, and I put it in. I remember I wanted to see my final collection again, and, like, my heart started thumping, like, oh, my God. And I called Jarrell. We were really good friends. Mm. And he's like, it was the same thing for him. He can't watch it.
Wow.
Because your emotions go right back to that day and that moment, and you feel the tears coming back. It's like, oh, God. So it's kind of like sitting on my mantle. We'll just watch the home visit.
Yes.
and the actual runway show, but I can't bring myself to watch any more of it.
Well, hopefully you don't get any awkward Christmas gifts of that DVD set.
I know, right? I know.
Well, the tables will now be turned when you come to Lawrence, and you yourself will be a judge at KU's version of Project Runway. Are you looking forward to that? Do you plan on channeling Michael Kors and going mad with power?
No. You know, I've done that a couple of times since the show, and I think I'm more like the Paula Abdul of Project Runway. I'm just really nice. I think it's a way to criticize someone where they can take something from it and really use it to get better. And there's a way to ridicule people because you feel you have this power and you can, and it's funny and it's ratings. Mm-hmm. And some people's spirits can't take that. Like, there are people in the show that are so bruised from the show. You know, they couldn't get up after and just move on. They're, like, still tormented from it. And personally for me, I was strong enough when I went on there to know that I was talented regardless of what they thought or not, so I could move on. So I try to be really positive. So I think I'll go with the same attitude, you know, give them the good stuff, give them the bad, but in a way where they're not going home crying, because I don't want to be the cause of anybody's dream being shattered because of words I said.
Kato Momolo, we look forward to your constructive criticism here in Lawrence on Tuesday, November 10th.
Yeah,
we look forward to it, and we thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.